Well, as a farm boy growing up in the centre of the Great Southern, we didn't get to the coast very often, occasionally on holidays. But I do remember going somewhere on the south coast. I assume it was Albany as a kid, maybe about a 10-year-old, and exploring the rocks. I left my sisters behind and was off on an adventure. I did know about king waves. I had heard about them. But this day was an exciting adventure because I found a hole in the rocks, a dip, a low part. I can't actually remember why I needed to get to the bottom of that hole, but I did. Maybe it was just because I was a 10-year-old boy. And anyway, as I was down there, a wave did come up and roll into the hole a little bit. And I suddenly remembered those king waves that were part of the southern coast and that could come and wash you out to sea and you'd never be seen again. I thought it's time to get out of the hole. Unfortunately, the hole it was wet now. The rocks were black and therefore very slippery. And so my early attempts to get out of the hole were quite unsuccessful as I started to climb and then just slid back into the hole. Seemed to be nowhere to put my hands or my feet, just attempt after attempt, and quick prayers to God for rescue. Well, thankfully, I did find a little crack. It was a sort of rugged bit. I got a finger in there. It did cut me, but I did manage to get out of the hole. I did not die there on that day. But thank God for that, a rescue. As I've thought about that story, and I've thought about this year and the year before and 2022 coming, I've sensed that life's like that for many of us. It feels like we're in a hole, a slippery hole, that is really hard to get out of. And every next thing feels like it's going to be the next wave that comes over us and takes us out. It's been 2 years now that we've been living in COVID, and now it senses that it's just going to actually come for real to Western Australia. Two steps forward, two steps back. All of our planning, what are your plans for 2022? Well, most of us haven't planned much, have we? Because we've learnt to hold our plans very loosely. It's hard to make decisions about the future. And so for many of us, it is like that slippery hole. We're worried about the next thing. And I know for some of you, whether it's finance or conflict or death or injury, 2021 has been a hard year for you. It's felt exactly like being in that hole. And I guess the question I've got for us this year is, can the Christmas story bring any hope to somebody who's in a hole like that and worried about being swamped? Because quite frankly, if the Christmas story cannot give us hope for this year and the year to come, then this day is just about lots of money being spent, lots of busyness, a few presents, and a lot of food. It's just about not worth worrying about Christmas if there's no genuine hope that this day gives to our lives. Now, I want to suggest that Christmas does give us hope. And my hope is that you will walk out full of hope today as we turn to the Christmas story, the Matthew version that we've been read to us today. Matthew focuses on the man of Joseph, the husband, I guess, who will be of Mary in his story. And he's engaged to Mary, and they, in their culture, have this thing where they're engaged for a year, but they live in separate homes with their families before they finally come together. Engagement's actually a binding union for them, a bit like marriage would be. They're betrothed to one another. It's fun and exciting as they plan their lives together. Now, for Joseph, he falls straight into one of those deep, slippery holes because the Christmas story takes a turn for the worse for Joseph. His whole life takes a turn for the worse when he discovers that his fiancée is pregnant. Now, of course, he knows that he is not the father of this child for obvious reasons. What do you think when your fiancée gets pregnant to another man? How do you respond to that? This happy marriage, this great planning that you had for your future together has now been taken away from you. What do you do? Well, Joseph has the option to take her to the public courts, to have her punished, humiliated for her sin. But he's not that kind of guy. And he decides to just quietly write a certificate of divorce and send her on her way. Dreams shattered, but no public disgrace. Well, what hope does the Christmas story have for Joseph? Well, I'm going to suggest that the hope that it has for him is the same hope that it has for us all these years afterwards. Because what happens next in the story is no short of miraculous. God turns up in the story and brings a God-sized solution to his problems and to our problems. And so let me read now how God intervenes into this story as God, via an angel, comes and speaks to Joseph as he dreams. In verse 20, the angel says, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She'll give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." Well, in a moment, I'm going to explain the two things from that short passage that give us hope this Christmas and this coming year. And they're both to do with the names that are given to Jesus from the angel and from Isaiah in the past. But I want to just notice firstly that this is a God-sized solution to the problem that's before us. Because this baby that is to be born, Mary's clearly going to be the mother, but not Joseph, not another man, but God himself will be the father. What we're talking about here is the virgin birth. This is incredible. If you can get your mind around this, well, you won't be able to. This is incredible because this is a God-sized solution to the world's greatest problem. This is the God who created the whole universe just by speaking out of nothing. This is the God who says to the dead person, "Rise," and they do. This is the God who takes the scales off blind eyes so they can see, who opens up the sea so people can walk through on dry land. This is a God-sized solution. And this God-sized solution gives hope to our world. So let's have a look at the two things that will give hope in the slippery hole that Joseph finds himself in and the slippery holes of life that we find ourselves in, both to do with names. So Joseph gets told that this baby is from the Holy Spirit, and the angel does a very quick gender reveal here and a very quick naming. So this is all taken care of in one sentence in verse 21. It says, "She gave birth to a son, she'll give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now, most couples spend most of those 9 months trying to work out if it's going to be a boy or a girl, and everyone's got a theory based on how you're carrying. But this is taken care of, and the name Jesus is given. And not just because it's a cool and hip name of the time, but because it has a meaning. Jesus, or Joshua in Hebrew, means God saves. And so they spend most probably of their 9 months thinking about, what's this all about? What's this boy that's going to be born going to save people from? Well, of course, the angel tells them he will save his people from their sins. Well, how will he do that? That's the question to find out. But he will save his people from their sins. That's an interesting thing to think about, that people need saving from their sins. See, I reckon if you gave any Australian a piece of paper and wrote on it, "What are your 10 greatest problems in your life?" Then they would write down, in fact, say, fill up the whole page, the greatest problems that you have. They would write down their finance, COVID. If you're English cricket team supporter, you'd have no problems coming up with a few. There'll be many things on the list, but for most people, they would never write their sin down, because for the Australian, we've forgotten about sin. We've forgotten about the part of the Bible that declares us to be sinners that need to be saved. Now, none of us need to turn on our Google Maps on our phone until we know that we are lost. We need to know that we're sinners before we can be saved from our sin. Sinners, people who have rejected the living God who made us. We're rebels in our heart and to our core. And unfortunately, because of that rebellion, because of that sin, a tidal wave of judgment is coming our way. God will turn up one day, as we've sung, Jesus will come back and judgment will come on us. But of course, the great news about Christmas is that Jesus will save his people from their sins. He will forgive us. He will wipe our sins away. Well, how will he do that? Now, it's interesting, we've got Dave Flex made us a nice new cross here for Christmas. And my kids used to get confused too about Christmas. Think, which one, when did Jesus come? And Christmas or Easter, the two stories get confused. And here we are with a brand new cross on Christmas Day. Of course, how would Jesus save his people from their sins? He'll be born of a virgin. He would grow up. He would die on a cross for the sins of the world. He wouldn't stay dead. He would rise again. But for anyone who would put their trust in him, come to this Jesus, they would be forgiven of their sins. As they come, repent, come in faith, they would be forgiven. And so that's the first great news of Christmas that gives hope. It's a God-sized solution for our greatest problem, for our sin. The Saviour has come. His blood would be shed for us to save us. So the first thing to do with his name, our Saviour has been born. The second also has to do with a name in the passage, verses 22 and 23. It says, all this took place to fulfil what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, Matthew kind of interjects into the story here. Now, you remember Joseph's asleep. He's got a problem that his fiancée is pregnant and he's not the father. And before waking up and finding out what happens next, Matthew, the writer of this story, wants to write something in here. He wants to write about fulfillment and how everything that happens in Jesus' life is fulfilling what God promised beforehand. And particularly, he wants to take one line from a verse in the prophet Isaiah, written 700 years before, that says, a virgin will give birth to a son, and they'll call him Emmanuel. Now, quite clearly, many virgins are giving birth to sons, and Jesus is the name of one and Emmanuel's the name of another. No, this doesn't happen every day, people. This happens once in the whole history of the world. And of course, Emmanuel wouldn't be the name. Jesus would be the name. Emmanuel would be the description of who he would be. Emmanuel meaning God with us. God would come and become a child. God would come and become a man. God would grow up as a man and die. God with us. I watched a movie recently, Blood Diamond. You might have seen it. It's set in Africa. It's to do with the blood diamonds being discovered there. And the main character is reflecting on the world around him there, a war torn and poverty. And he makes this quote, which I've been thinking about lately. He says, sometimes I wonder, will God ever forgive us for what we've done to each other? Then I look around and realise God left this place a long time ago. You see, as we look around at our ravished world, at the poverty we've just been seeing, the strife, the conflict, it can be easy to think that God created the world, that he started the world, he wound up the clock, if you like, and then sat back as a spectator to watch to see how it would play out. But that's not what he did. God stepped into the mess. God came into the world as a baby. He would grow up, as we've said, he would die for our sin. He would rise again. He would send his Spirit. So that God actually is not far but near. God is actually right here with us today. In fact, if you've put your trust in Jesus, then God is right here in your heart. God is very near to you. He's not distant. And so God says to Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. And right through the Bible, we hear the same words. Do not be afraid. Or fear not. Why not? Because God will be with you wherever you go. And that's the kind of hope that you and I need as we go through our lives. We need a Savior who will forgive us for our sins, and we'll need a God who will be our companion and our help as we're in the slippery holes of life and the next wave threatens to take us out. We need a real and sure hope, a God-sized solution for our problems. Well, how does the story work out? Joseph's been asleep, his fiancée is pregnant, he's not the father. What does he do next after this angel comes? Verse 24. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. So there would be no great court case and disgrace and humiliation. There would be no divorce signed and sent off. No, Joseph would merely accept God at his word. And he would step into the adventure of life that God had for him in faith. Mary, of course, would give birth to a child and they would call him Jesus. And he would save the world for their sin. And he would live. We can live, therefore, with hope in our hearts. So, friends, Christmas is not just about busyness. It's not just about spending lots of money. It's not about the presents you might receive. There is a real and sure hope that can come in every day of your life because of the Christmas story. And so my question is, do you have that hope in your life? Let me pray for us. Father, Christmas is good news. A Saviour has been sent. And Father, we have the opportunity to receive that Saviour by faith, to have our sins forgiven, and to have our lives and our hearts full of hope. And so we say thank you for the gift that you've given. And Father, I particularly pray for those today who have no hope, that they would find that hope in Jesus, turning to the God who is near to them. In Jesus' name, amen. Happy Christmas.